Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening, and welcome to another Monday night show with our Nazca family. This is Bailey Smith, hosting from the Big Apple, New York City. I am here, unfortunately not for great stuff. I have my host, co-host, Charlie, and I am here with Rita Rodriguez from Joshua, Texas. She is our special guest tonight. Monday night's our special guest night. Rita is a survivor warrior of child abuse and domestic. A lot of her childhood abuse happened at the hands of her stepmother, Evelyn. I'm going to stop there. There's a lot to Rita's story. I wanted, before I bring her on, I want her to know that this is like my only fourth time co-hosting alone. Well, I have Charlie, but, you know, introducing the show. So don't be nervous, okay? Because we get through it. It's our Nazca family. Everybody knows each other. We all love each other. We all care about each other. And, go with the flow. We're here for you. We'll guide you. And I'm going to bring you on, our guest tonight, Rita from Texas. Oh, sorry. I'm using my touch screen and I don't have one. Hello, Rita.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So, you have some story, and you're very brave to come and share it, and we always appreciate having new guests. You know, I started out being a guest on the show, a year and a half ago, maybe, and I'm a volunteer now for Nazca. I'm part of the Nazca family. Once you're a guest, you're stuck with us. So I would love to hand it over, the mic over to you. When you feel like stopping, stop, and I'll let a panelist come on. I'll give you about 10 minutes to start talking. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. The mic's all yours. The mic is all yours.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I don't know where to begin. I guess I am. Yeah, it started when I was around like 7. It was Christmas. I remember it was Christmas Day. And I was getting dropped off and, you know, the person who I thought was my mom told me that I was spending the night. And she left, and that I didn't see her for a while after that. And then afterwards, I stayed with Evelyn and Eddie, which was her brother and his wife. And it was good at first, you know. And then after a while, you know, they started getting angrier, lashing out. Just they would say really, really, really ugly, ugly things to where me at the time, being a little child, I didn't need to hear. So they started beating me. I would go to school with bruises all over my body. You know, the teachers knew about it. Like, I feel like they knew about it because, you know, they would ask me and I would kind of hint towards it. I mean, how could you, you know, not tell? And it just got worse throughout the years. I lived there for about 10 years and they were really horrible people. They would lock me outside because they adopted four other kids. And one of the other kids, it was a boy, and me and him got the worst of it. So they would lock me and him outside sometimes, and sometimes we would starve, you know. And sometimes we didn't because there was a barn, and we either ate the dog food or We either ate dog food or if it was the season for it, we ate the peaches and pecans that were there. Or cereal or food from school that would hide throughout, you know, the barn. So wow. Life was there was horrible for a while. They treated the other kids really horrible too, especially the boy. They would body slam him on the ground if he didn't do what he was told because we were working, you know, their garden and, you know, they had quite a bit of land. So we would work that, you know, if we didn't have school, we would work all day. So, and it didn't matter to them if it was hot or cold. They just didn't care. And
wow.
Yeah, it was pretty, pretty horrible. My school was a sanctuary for me. Like I would go to school, I was way happier at school, you know. She would embarrass me and go and tell the teachers that that I was mentally retarded, that I don't know what I'm talking about because I guess she was afraid of me telling everybody, you know, because they would ask me, you know, are you getting abused at home? You know, we can help you, you know, but I didn't say nothing because she told me if I ever said anything that she would put me in HMR and they would take me away. So that kind of scared me. Now that I look back at it, I could have done something about it. But, yeah, I've gotten so horrible. She told me quite a few times that she didn't care about me. I'm going to turn out just like my mother. And that she said that I would be just better off in general if I just wasn't here, you know. So.
Wow,
and
terrible.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible. And then I was taking medication at the time. I think it was like ADHD medication because I would zone out. And so when she would tell people that I was mentally retarded, it kind of looked like it because the ADHD medicine was meant to, you know, calm me down. So, yeah, it was there. She would go and tell people that. But after I stopped taking the medicine and all that, I finally, like, had emotion. I could feel angry, sad, you know. I guess the medication was suppressing my feelings, so I ended up just getting angry every time she would slap me or hit me, you know. She would hit me with anything she could find, like iron wire hanger, a piece of wood, you know. It just got really bad.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you mind if I just type in? This was your biological father's wife?
No, I just called him that because, when I was born, this is what I've been told. When I was born, my mom left me up and gave me to a friend that she knew, or a family a friend of family. So I guess we're like distantly related.
Okay.
But yeah, I guess they knew my mom, but yeah, I didn't know, like, I at the time, I guess I didn't know them that much.
Go on.
Sorry, I get nervous. Yeah, that happened sometime, and I ended up running away, and she was so obsessed with bringing me back to the house, she would go look for me and tell me to come back. You know, I felt like she had a split personality, because she would get angry, and then the next second she would, like, be really, really, really sweet, you know, coaxing me to get back in the house, or, you know, that she does want me, and when I got in the house, she'd be like, get angry and start hitting me, lashing out at me. You know, her husband would punch me. And one time they almost broke my nose, I felt like, because they punched me so hard that my nose started bleeding all over the floor, carpet. And when I got blood on the carpet, she got mad and started rubbing my face in my own blood on the carpet and saying that I'm getting the carpet dirty. That's what kind of people they were. They're just awful people. And, one of the boys that they had, he had a pooping and pee problem. And when he would, like, have an accident on himself, they would take, let's say if he just, like, pooped, they would take his poop on his underwear, put it on my head, and make me stand outside for, like, 2-3 hours, or maybe all day if that, and make me wash his clothes afterwards. Which wasn't a big deal, but I didn't like on my face. You know what I mean? It was just really horrible. I couldn't bring schoolwork home because she would tear it up, and then I would get in trouble at school. And she was really a religious. She acted like a really religious person. The only time she would act nice or put on a show was when she would take us to church. Then she would, you know, act. She put on a really great show for everybody, because when I ran away and everybody found out, they were really surprised, you know. I guess after I ran away from that whole situation, I ended up with my daughter's dad, and he was very abusive towards me. And I guess the only reason I fell for him was because I was trying to look for, you know, I guess somebody to love me. And I guess when I had my daughter, she taught me everything I needed to know, especially how to love.
Would you like to stop here and we'll bring on some of our panelists?
Yeah.
Okay. I see that my co-host is busy right now. So I'm going to bring on Tanisha from Mississippi.
Hey.
Good evening.
Hello. This is
Tanisha.
Good evening.
In.
You're welcome. Thanks. So I met Rita through one of the groups that were on in Facebook and everything, and we had just started talking and to kind of develop a bond, and I kind of introduced her to it and encouraged her to come on and everything, because I've done it and I know how she feels and where she's coming from. And I just wanted to say that, to tell her to be strong, and that, you know, that she will get through this and so will I get through this. And just, she's definitely a survivor. And let her know, I want you to know, Rita, that I'm here for you. Like I said, you can reach out to me anytime, however, call, text, or however. And I just wanted to say, I just got up, like I'm dealing with my blood pressure. I don't know if it's up or whatever, but I'm feeling dizzy. I just wanted to get on here and support her, because I'm really going in and out right now. And so I just wanted to say that, and I was just going to just sit back and listen to the rest if it was okay, and so I can just move my phone back and just stay on, because I just got out of the hospital like 2 days ago. So I just want to say that and just tell her to be strong.
Well,
thank you.
We really appreciate you calling in, even though you're not feeling well. make sure you lie down. And later on in the show, we'll get you back on just so you can say one last thing. You know, we like all our panelists to say something, but, you know, want to give them a chance to say something. But if you're not feeling well, we'd still appreciate that you did call in. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just get my co-host Charlie on, see if he has anything he would like to add. Charlie.
Hello, hello, hello. Well, Rita, thank you so much. I know you kind of were a little bit taken aback before the show when I came on and was trying to get your information to get you lined up. But my name's Charlie Stecker. I call myself a transcender of child abuse, and I believe that you are too. I took a peek at your what I could see on your Facebook page, and what a transcender means is we rose above and beyond what our abuse tried and our abusers tried to create us into being, and we become who we are. And I just applaud you tonight for being out here, sharing your story. And it's okay to be nervous. Welcome to being normal and human. That's what we all are. But I always say this, Rita, and I want to say it now. I think I look forward to that day, and I'm sure you do too, that we no longer can find anybody to be the special guest. But to have you here tonight sharing your story with us, I just want you to know that this hour and a half, this is your time. We're here to support you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Charlie. We have another panelist that just called in, Dina from New York. Welcome,
hi.
Dina.
Hi, baby. I figured I'd try to go on. For some reason, I was able to.
Oh, my friend Dina.
Yes.
Thank you for calling.
Yes,
for calling
I was interested in you. I guess I have a history, a background of not sharing and abuse as well. End of her speaking. I apologize for that. But I think it shows a lot of strength that she's overcome and she's still going and strong. And it's really touching. It's nice to be part of this, discussion and going over it, because a lot of people hide it or don't share. And there's a lot that, you know, we went through as children that we just like pushed under the rug and just in survival mode and just like continued living and never really explored or dug deep how it affects us today, you know, with our children, our families. So I'm just learning to do that now, actually.
I know Dina since we're like 15 years old, by the way, guys. So, and you know what? Dina, you'd be a great guest on the show. We'll talk about it. Dina has a lot of some story, and she's come a long, long way, and she's an amazing mom and single mom, just like me. Not easy. But we'll get back to you. I'm going to, we have another person that just called in. We'll get back to you, Dina. Don't hang up.
No problem.
Oh, it's Bill.
I'm going to listen.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dina.
Yeah,
Bill,
hi.
Really, my
you.
Buddy.
Thank you very much. I wanted to join you and mainly make sure Rita understood, and she hears my voice tonight, that I really appreciate her coming on the show tonight. This was kind of a surprise for her. We had a guest that was scheduled who got sick, and therefore I had an opening for tonight, and Rita stepped forward and volunteered to do it. Now, she's not used to doing this, so I want to assure her she's done a great job so far, but I wanted to hear a voice that supports the fact that we understand that it's not easy, that there may be some reluctance to say some things or whatever, and that's all okay. We understand how it feels to, it's kind of daunting to be asked to do this and then to say, well, okay, here, the mic is yours, you know, which I heard you say, Bailey. So I wanted to hold her hand a little more, okay? I wanted to say, Rita, we're all here for you, all of us. And I'm really glad Danisha called in, even though she's just going to be basically listening mostly. And Dina, too, who I know as Bailey's friend. And, of course, Charlie, who's wonderful. So you have a lot of people here for you, Rita, and I'm going to stay on the show and listen and make comments occasionally if need be, okay?
Okay, thank you.
How are you feeling right now? You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Just really nervous.
She's doing amazing.
Yeah.
She's doing amazing.
So the point is that it's absolutely normal to be nervous. And we're going to validate that feeling. But you're going to make it through the show easily, and you're going to be surprised at a certain point when, you know, the show is near the end, and perhaps Bailey says that it's gone by so quickly. The beginning here, I can understand there's more nervousness at the beginning than there will be at the end, I guess is what I'm saying. But you've done great, and we're going to hold your hand. So don't worry about it. You can't make a mistake, okay? And we're here for you. All right?
Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome.
For those of you that are new, Bill is the founder of NASCA, National Association for Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, Domestic Violence, and abuse, any kind of abuse. And thank you for calling, Bill. Rita, you can tell me anytime when you need a break, okay? I thought that I was kind of clear, you know, that we're here for you, we're here to support you in the beginning of the show, and whenever you feel like you need a break or whatever, feel free, and I'll pipe in whenever I have something to say. So if you want to continue at any point of your story, you're welcome to.
Yeah, so I ended up getting with the father of my child, and he was pretty abusive. He beat me. He tried to stab me, shoot me. He was just very aggressive, and I think I didn't leave because I was already used to that. I spent 10 years with, you know, Eddie and Evelyn. I was already used to this kind of stuff. But when I had my daughter, you know, he was kind of being abusive then and took her away from me for 2 weeks. And that was a changing point in my life. Like, everything changed. He had gone with her to the Hampton Motel where his sister worked. And I called the police because I didn't know he went there, and they found him. And I asked for my kid back. I said, please, you know, can I have my baby back? I begged and begged and begged. He didn't give, you know, they were going to escort me out or I go to jail for trespassing on, you know, the Hampton Motel. And I ended up going to the women's shelter. It's called the ARC in Brownwood, Texas. It's for just people who are in abusive situations. And I met a lot of nice people. I was embarrassed at first to be at the shelter. About 2 weeks after that, though, with the help of police and everybody else, and I got the lawyer, ended up getting my daughter back. But my daughter has taught me everything about, you know, love. You know, I didn't know what love felt like at first. You know, the emotion love or how to feel in general, and Nevaeh has taught me all of that. My daughter's name is Nevaeh. So she's a very sweet girl. I struggle every day still. You know, it's not over. I have, like, triggers, like a certain perfume that I smell. I get triggered, and I start crying and bawling. And a lot of people won't notice that I'm not happy. But sometimes I get in depressive moods, and I just, you know, get really emotional and start having flashbacks when I see certain things. It's hard, but I push through. And when I see someone else that I notice that's struggling, you know, I try to help them. I don't let them know that I'm sad, you know, because I don't want that to affect them in any way, because I don't want them to feel how I feel.
Are you there?
Yes.
Well, I could pipe in, and I can tell you I'm in my recovery of domestic violence going on 5 years. We all have our moments. We all have our flashbacks. You heal a long time. It never fully goes away. So, you know, and yours, I don't know when your story is from, but it sounds like it's pretty fresh. Yeah?
Yeah, I've been abuse-free since 2017, so it's been like 3 years. But yeah, I've been no drama, no nothing. I just, you know, just struggle every day with the fact that I'm stuck on the fact that, you know, I could have done something, but I didn't. You know what I mean? But I just, because back then I was cowardly. I was scared of every single thing. But after I ran away, people said that I look more happier, I look more confident, and I glowed, which, you know, I could understand because I, you know, I was way happier than I was there. But, yeah, I struggle every day with it, so I know how people feel. And I wish the world wasn't like that, but it is. And there are ugly people in this world.
Yes, there are. And sexual abuse, childhood abuse, you know, those are topics that, in my opinion, are more, people talk about it more. Domestic violence, I think, is still, you know, this is my opinion. Bill doesn't always agree with me, but I feel that domestic violence is still swept under the rug. You know, people, this is why we do the show. This is why we advocate, to bring awareness.
Wait a minute. I don't think domestic violence does not belong here. I've said it many times. Of course it belongs here.
No.
I mean,
no.
Frankly, let me say something though, Bailey. Rita's experience as a child was domestic violence, and it, you know, and it came out in a lot of different ways. Her
right.
trauma in adulthood is the result of that. Of course, she had other kinds of childhood trauma too, but I want to assure her that, you know, most of us have some kind of sense of guilt or shame about not having been able to deal with it, or maybe not having spoken up enough, which you just said, Rita. That's completely normal, completely common,
and it's
okay that you feel that way.
I have this whole guilt thing because
I know.
I don't want to say who it is, but there was something that went on that happened that there was sexual abuse going on in the house with the other kids. And so I saw it happen, but I didn't say
right.
anything. And I couldn't believe
but you
it
were
was
a
happening.
Kid.
No,
yeah,
but
Rita,
I
the point is
believe.
We don't hold children responsible. You are guiltless and innocent of the fact that you didn't have the power. You didn't know you had the power to do anything about it at the time, and you were terrified in your own situation. It's completely okay that you did not, as a child, report these things. You were innocent, and we don't hold you guilty at all. We hope that you can come to that conclusion yourself, because children just are not, they're not complete adults yet. They're not mature, you know. They're doing the best they can, and what you did, the best you could do was survive. And you've
right.
done a great job with that, and in your own adulthood, you've continued the process of survival, which, you know, if you talk about eating food off the ground, the peaches and the pecans that grew on the trees in the farm. That's how you fed yourself. I mean, that's survival, you know.
Right.
And, you know, none of the teachers turned you in, when, even though they saw you all beat up and so forth. That's not you. That's them. And they're supposed to give you that space to report and know how to encourage you to walk through the fear that's completely natural with a child. So you're innocent as far as we're concerned and not responsible for what happened, okay? But I hope someday you can accept that about yourself, because we already accept it about you, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks.
You're quite welcome.
I wanted to say one other thing, Rita. When you said that your boyfriend, the father of your child, had taken your child from you, a lot of us have experienced that, and there's no worse thing for a mother than a mentally stable mother, which you sound very much like, than having her child taken away from her. That is the worst thing for a mother. So
I cannot tell you. I'm sorry. I cannot tell you how.
And you got her back. So
yes, I did end up getting her back. But I wish, if at the beginning when I was pregnant with her, you know, I posted on Facebook, you know, I was pregnant and stuff like that, and I wish I had encouragement then, but all I got was a lot of lashback from my high school friends, everybody. There's probably about two or three people that said something good about me being pregnant, so that made me feel bad throughout my whole pregnancy. My whole first pregnancy was just horrible, because people would call me names that I didn't even never heard of, that I know now, you know, and it was just horrible. Like, I can't believe that people would say that about, you know, just be mean, just in general, you know, about a single mom, you know. But yeah, it was a horrible pregnancy, that first. But yeah, I got her back, and ever since then she hasn't been around her dad, her first father.
Well, I'm glad that you have her back.
Me too. But yeah, I'm mostly mad about the fact that, like, when I told, you know, I would tell some of the teachers about me getting abused, and then, you know, when our bus drive, we had like two bus drivers that would come off and on to the house and pick us up. And one day she'd throw me out, and she threw me and this other boy named Chris out naked in the front yard. And, the bus driver saw the whole thing, and then he just looked, didn't say nothing, asked if we were getting abused. I told him yes. The whole 2 years I was there, didn't do nothing. Even the teachers pulled me in their office and asked me, you know, we can't do nothing if you don't say nothing. But how could I say nothing? Because I was scared. You know, she told me if I said anything, I was going to go to the mental hospital, and I didn't want to do that.
Right.
So I just wanted to, anybody that's out there listening, you know, just pay attention to the signs. You know, if you see a kid getting abused, you know, a child or anybody in general, you know, just say something. You know, you could help save their life.
Right. And Rita, we call that intervention, stepping in as an adult to help a kid. But the other thing that we want to make sure gets mentioned tonight is prevention. You did not get any prevention information as a child. Children don't naturally come with the knowledge that their body is theirs, that there are laws against these things, that the kind of treatment that you receive, being thrown outside naked and washed down with a hose and then made to eat, you know, dog food, this is not okay. But we don't know that. As kids, we're stuck in the situation we're stuck in. Now we know it. But that's called prevention, and it's something adults have to teach children ahead of time, so that if they, God forbid, come up against a situation like that, they'll know that it's okay. In fact, it's we want them to report it. It's okay to report it. In fact, it should be reported. It's not okay in society for a child to be treated that way, in other words. So you don't know this as a kid. You're, again, this isn't kind of we're looking at a child, an innocent child, from the perspective of being an adult and what we know now. We did not know that. And predators are extremely clever. So the warning to you about being sent to the mental institution or sent to the foster care or sent to the orphanage or breaking up the family, these things are fear tactics that our predators put in front of us that we believe. We believe if we report it, not only are the cops going to come, but then they're going to throw us in the proverbial slammer, the child version of the proverbial slammer, and we'll never see our family again or whatever. So, but it's not true. We just don't know that then. So teaching a child prevention and teaching ourselves intervention techniques where we can intercede for a child, it's really important for us. It's a big part of what we want to talk about on these shows and educate the public about. So I'm glad you brought it up because it gave us an opportunity to discuss it just a little bit.
Thank you, Bill. I'd like to bring Charlie, my co-host, back on. Charlie.
Well, hello, Rita. I want to tell you, you're really doing a great job getting your story out there. And it is very hard. It's very difficult, especially the first time with a bunch of people who are essentially strangers. I'm glad that Bill has jumped in occasionally and has given some insight and guidance. But what an amazing, powerful human being you are. And, you know, I'm not here for my story tonight, but I want to tell you, I understand carrying that guilt and, dare I use the word, shame for what we thought we should have done. But there's nothing, as Bill said, and Bailey is, you know, I reiterate, there's nothing we could have done at that time. We always learn as we get older, possibly things we should have done. But so don't beat yourself up. And you know, I did hear Bill mention about it being some time ago, but as you said, as I believe you said, you just got out of your abuse-free life, just began about 3 years ago. Am I correct? Hello, Rita. Are you there?
Oh, hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you are. I said, am I correct that you do I recall correctly that it was just about 3 years ago that you finally began to experience an abuse-free life?
Yes, 2017, I finally was free of everything.
Okay, so what I was saying was, you know, while some of us, you know, we date back a little further than that, I mean, 2017, while in some ways it was a while ago, in other ways it wasn't that long ago. And for me, someone who's been in this for a very, very long time, both as a overcomer of my childhood abuse and advocating for years, you know, one would hope that by the time what you experienced happened, we were in a better position. But you coming here tonight helps me, and I appreciate you, helps me understand that we have so much more work to do. The things that we talk about that didn't happen then, I can see right through your story. In some cases, all of them sad, it's still happening today. So I just want to reassure you and say, as I said to you before the show, and you kind of I knew you were nervous. I could feel it. I was the first time I was on. Welcome to the family. You've got an older brother out here in Pennsylvania who's there for you. That would be me. You've got Bailey. You've got Bill. Bailey's in New York right now. She's normally down in Florida. Bill, our founder. You've got a whole group of people. And explore our website, Rita. I strongly suggest that you do that. And you'll find numbers and contact people that will be there for you. You're not walking alone in this anymore. And you never deserve the abuse. There wasn't anything you could have done that you didn't already do when you were in the midst of surviving that, okay? Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
And the reason I'm saying that to you is this. When you were in the middle of that victimization, it's kind of like, do you swim at all?
The what?
Rita, do you swim at all? Do you get in a pool or go down to the ocean?
No, not as much as I would like to. But I go to the lake every so often when I can.
Okay. All right. Well, here's the reason I'm asking you that. Because when we're in the middle of our abuse, it's like being out in the middle of water, that in order to be able to survive, we have to do something. What do? We swim, we doggy paddle, we float, right? So when you were in the middle of your abuse, when you were doing the things that you shared with us so openly, eating what you had to survive and doing whatever it was, you couldn't at that time do anything to help anyone else. You were trying to make sure that you were keeping your head above water. And you did. Look where you are today. It sounds like you're a wonderful mother, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about that as the show goes on. But I applaud your strength and your tenacity and your willingness not only to survive but thrive and overcome what was thrown at you. Congratulations, and I'm so sorry that your high school classmates in high school treated you in such a ill fashion, but you will never find that kind of treatment here at NASCA, and we're all here for you. Thank you so much, and I want to thank Bailey for allowing me to step in for a little longer than I normally take.
My pleasure. Let me get my friend Dina on, and then we'll get Rita back on. Dina, anything to share?
A lot of things that Rita said. First of all, I commend her strength and her vulnerability to share and open up with all of us. A lot of things that she shared, it's flashbacks. Me, you know, it reminds me of things that I went through and survival mode. Also, like how she shared, wishing could have done more, even though you saw the signs with other people. But like the gentleman just said, it's all where we're doing it is like treading water. It's survival. And I've always said my whole life that when people talk to me, when Rita was speaking, it really is, everything is survival. And just, you look back, now I can look back and I'm like, wow, I made it, I'm not dead. I have 3 kids, thank God. And, you know, even through the divorce, the trauma and feeling alone and just fighting for yourself. But she's remarkable because she's had it even a lot worse than I think I've had, or I don't know if we could compare ever such, it's like a nightmare. But Rita really sounds like, when I hear her speak, I see myself when I was 3 and 5 and 7 and 9. And it's just, you know, people might look at you on the outside and they really don't know everything that you're going through inside doors. So, I'm very happy that I was on today and that I was listening. I always say when I see you post that I'm going to try to go on and what's it all about. I didn't realize what it is.
She's talking about me when I post the show.
Right.
Hi, Rita. I'm glad you called in, Dina. I appreciate it.
You really are. You're very special. And everything that you said, I feel, and I'm with you. And you just, hopefully things just keep going up and, you know, more healing and finding yourself and strength. It should continue for your family and for yourself. It's really beautiful.
Thank you, Dina, so much. We'll get back to you soon.
Okay.
You know, a lot of times we suppress certain things and they come out later in life. I know Dina a very long time. We've been through so much together as teenagers, as adults, as mothers. I don't even know her whole childhood story. So I hope that one day she'll come on the show and share it. But like she said, a lot of what you've spoken about mimics a lot of what she's been through. She empathizes with you. And that's the one thing that the NASCA family is all about. We empathize, there's no one in NASCA that will ever tell you get over it. Move on already. You will never, ever hear that because we feel your pain. We've been there. We know what the pain and the trauma is like, whatever kind it was. We understand pain, we understand trauma, and we are filled with empathy. And that's what NASCA is really about. So I'm glad that you joined us, and we can go get back to you if you'd like.
I just want to say, whoever is listening, and if y'all are, if y'all have gone through something similar like this, it's not easy. You know, I'm pretty sure y'all know that. I'm not perfect. I still struggle every single day with trying to forget. I know I'm never gonna forget. I know that. I try to focus on my kids. I have a boy. He's 7 months old, and then I have my daughter. So I have two kids. So they keep me going. You know, they make me happy. You know, but that doesn't stop me from, you know, when I go to work, you know, I sit in my car and I cry. Or, you know, like I said before, I have these flashbacks and, you know, I don't want them to be there no more, you know. And I used to have these thoughts of suicide and tried before. You know, I've never really told anybody that except the close, you know, people that are really close to me. You know, I've tried to attempt suicide in the past and then, you know, failed. But I've realized, you know, I want to be there for my daughter. I want to break that chain, you know, because from what I've been told, my mom, she's been, you know, she has kids and she leaves them. And then it's like a cycle of domestic violence, you know, and drugs, you know. And so I want to break that change. I don't want my kids to grow up thinking, you know, that their mom don't love them. I want them to know, you know, they're very loved.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We all want that. We want to break the cycle of violence and abuse. We want our children to have a better life, 100%. I always say that. So you have how many children that are biological? And I was looking at your bio. Did you adopt them?
I have one girl. She's 4 years old. Her name's Nevaeh. And then I have a son. Her dad's in prison. And then I have a 7-month old. I'm with his dad now. We've been going good for 2 years straight. So we've been doing good.
I'm with Greg. Okay, that's good that you have a support team. That's great.
Yeah, and I'm telling you right now, his family is like such a blessing. His mom, him, or I cannot tell you, their family is awesome, dude. They've done things with me that I have never done before. They've shown me love. Even, you know, my family, like, I call them my sisters because I used to grow up with them when before I moved with Eddie and Evelyn. And so, like, my sisters, you know, I love them. You know, they know that I love them, you know. So, you know, if they're ever going through anything like that, I want them to tell me. So.
Well, that is incredible that you have a family. You know, family isn't always blood.
Yeah, I always thought about that. You know, I used to think really bad things about myself, and recently, lately, I've been told, you know, hey, you're beautiful. Hey, you're, you know, you look like a very happy person. You know, I don't mean to look like that, but I guess I look like a happy person who got my stuff together, and I'm not really that kind of person. You know, I don't have all my stuff together. I may just look like it, but, you know, I'm just living life one day at a time.
Yep. Step by step, minute by minute, step by step, day by day. Right?
Yes.
Would you like me to open up the panel again, or would you like to talk a little more?
Yeah, you can open
you would
up
like
the panel.
To, okay. So I'm going to ask Tanisha if she wants to say anything. I think she's resting. Tanisha, do you want to say anything?
Yes, I just want to say to Arita that she's doing a great job and just keep on doing a great job. And I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tanisha.
You're welcome.
I'm going to bring Bill on. Hey, Bill.
Hey.
Anything you want to say?
Well, I can hear in her voice that Rita is a little calmer now than she was before when she was very nervous at the beginning. And I predicted that would happen. There you go. See, there's nothing that we will tell you that will be... We're not like a Jerry Springer show, right, Rita? You know Jerry Springer?
Yeah.
We're a different kind of show. We are here to support you, not to tear your story apart or tell you where you were wrong or beat you up in any way. And that's all the stuff that, you know, new people to telling their story fear. They, you know, we fear, some of which has been mentioned earlier on the show, we fear being told we should shut up. You know, why are we talking about it? It happened so long ago. Just forget about it. Put it out of your mind. Move on with your life. And these are all things that are maddening to us, frankly. We seek people who understand, who validate our feelings, don't blame us for our feelings, who say, not only say you're in the right place, but say, you know, let me introduce you to a lot of other of us. You know, so you've met the Facebook groups, I know, but as Charlie said, there's a 100 people on the website itself between our contact lists and our volunteer lists and so forth that you can call any of them anytime, and perhaps someday you'll become one of them. Who knows? But for right now, you're going to hear you're in the right place. You know, come on in. Like Charlie said, come on in. The water's fine. You know, we understand. We believe you. We've had the same or similar experiences and know how it feels. And these are life-saving things for a survivor to hear. So I'm glad you called in tonight. I'm sure you've heard a few of those things already, and that the sense of becoming a member of NASCA, the NASCA family we call it, is strong in you because you're going to have a good experience. Now, there's also another element to remember, Rita. You're telling your story not only to the three or four other people that might be on the panel along with Bailey and Charlie, but also to we don't know how many are listening on the radio audience. And they're not they don't call in necessarily. They're listening in. And believe me, having somebody like you tell their story for the basically first time is very impressive to them. And perhaps it encourages them to in essence, keep coming back themselves and maybe even consider becoming a part of the Facebook group or checking out the website or someday telling their story too. And, of course, we're here for anybody in any of those situations. But God bless you, Rita. And thank you again for jumping in when I needed a special guest for tonight since our regularly scheduled one got sick. And do this last minute is no small thing. So thanks again, Rita.
Thank you for having
me.
Thank you, Bill.
And before we get back to you, I'm going to see if Charlie wants to say anything. Charlie?
Well, hello. And welcome me back. Hello, Rita. Rita, I'll tell you what, Bill, and I know Bailey mentioned it a couple of times. We talk about these shows when they start, and we say, like, boy, an hour and a half, 90 minutes, that's forever. And if you take it out the seconds, it's even longer. But if I told you you're almost an hour through the show already, you would you believe me?
Oh, yeah, I believe it. I can talk forever.
Well, you are doing absolutely amazing.
So can I.
And, right. You're doing absolutely amazing, Rita. And, you know, I'm looking here and I see that some of the things, I mean, I'm looking forward in the next half hour to hear more about what you do for the at Rock House. Share some of that. I'm just giving you some things to bring on as you proceed with the show, because Rita is much more, folks, than just what her past attempted to make her into being. She is who she is today. And I really look forward to hearing that, Rita. So, again, I applaud you. Thank you so much for coming on at the last minute. I mean, not only have you not done this before, but you've not done this before with no expectation it was going to happen so soon. So really wonderful, and I truly appreciate you being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So, Rita, we're back to you.
Okay. What else would y'all like to know about? I can't think of anything else.
I didn't hear what you said.
I was asking, what else would you like to know about?
Charlie had mentioned that you, Charlie, didn't you mention something about something that she does? No.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't mean to step in. I was just going to suggest, Rita, I know we've done a lot of focusing in the past hour on what has happened. We've kind of dabbled a little in where you currently are. I'm really excited to hear that you've been blessed with a good man in your life, a good father for your children, and a good person for you along with his family. Am I correct in what I heard that?
Yeah.
That is such a blessing, and I'm going to be holding that up in what I do is prayer and meditation, that continues for you. But I'm excited to hear tell us, what's Rock House? What is it? I mean, I'm seeing that. I've never heard of it, not sure what it is. And what do you do there as a caregiver for the people you serve?
I just take care of them. So the mentally disabled, we give them their medicine. We cook for them. We help them be more independent, like doing their own chores or shaving themselves or, you know, anything for themselves in general. I haven't been working there long. I barely started working there. I've been working there for about 6 months. But I've worked in that kind of area before, and when I lived in Brownwood, Texas. So I really like it. It's a rewarding feeling. I just love taking care of people. A lot of people don't like it because sometimes you got to change the pens and stuff like that. But I have no problem with it because I love the feeling. I feel like I'm giving back or doing something good. You know, it's a good feeling. You know, it doesn't pay that much, but it's a rewarding feeling to have.
Absolutely. I actually worked in nursing homes myself many years back, so I definitely can relate to what you're saying. And listen, don't shortchange yourself if 6 months isn't that much time. I mean, if you even just started that job this morning, the fact that you applied for it and then you applied yourself to it speaks volumes about who you are. Again, taking from your past and saying, I didn't like being treated like that. So I'm going to make sure not only do I take care of my children that way, but I'm going to take it a step further and take care of these other people that are put into the category of mentally disabled. Dare I say, and I will, all of us have a mental disability. I know I can, speaking for myself, because as a human being, we are going to have instabilities in our mental health as we do in our physical health and our spiritual health. So so I applaud you. So like I said, even if you just started that job this morning, the fact that you had the desire to go to do it already shows who you are. So don't shortchange yourself on the amount of time you've been in it, okay? I really thank you so much for what you're doing for those folks and in turn helping yourself feel better as well.
I think of it like a kind of like a, I guess, self-soothing. If that kind of makes any sense, self-soothing. So when I'm taking care of them, I feel like I'm taking care of my own babies. So it's just because they're just like kids. So, you know, so you just got to love them. But I had other jobs in the past that I had struggled keeping jobs, not keeping jobs, but finding the right job. I've had a lot of jobs. I was a janitor for Cleburne ISD. I was a corrections officer at Johnson County and at Venus. That's the Venus prison.
Wow. Well,
what else did I do?
Can I share something with you?
Yes,
you, sir. Sorry. Let me tighten up my tie. And you will find humor. You will find humor here. We have to be able to laugh a little bit. But I want to share something with you. I understand bouncing from job to trying to find where you belong and what fulfills you. I just found the job that fulfills me 2.5 years ago. Okay. So don't feel because you had to move around and find your place that it's a bad thing. It's a beautiful thing. And you found your place. I mean, it took me the better part of 30 some odd years of working to get where now I don't have a job anymore. I have a mission field that I get to go to every day. And I'm telling you, from what I'm hearing you sharing with me, I think you're going to grow in the area of the business you're in. And I could see you moving into supervisory level and overseeing other caregivers because I just see that in you. Maybe I'm speaking something out of turn, but I just feel that energy from you.
I have to say that Rita, that is an incredible, I always said, my mom was a physical therapist, and she worked with special needs adults and kids. And my son, who's 20, he's turning 21, he's actually having surgery tomorrow, he worked with special needs kids. And I always said, people that work with the elderly or special needs, they have to be special. You have to be special to work to enjoy doing working with those kind of people. I don't want to say it like that. To work in that field, you have to really be special because it's not fun and it's not easy. So I give you a lot of credit. And if this is a passion, keep going. Till you get higher and higher in that field. Rita?
Yeah, I really love this job. It's really rewarding. But I actually was thinking about I love being a caregiver. I've been trying to get into college. But COVID, with the COVID coronavirus being, it's slowing all the colleges down. Some of the websites are down. I've been wanting to go to college to be a counselor for children. So, and I also wanted to be a motivational, but I didn't know how to go about doing that. Like, what was her name? I don't know how to say her name. Tanasha?
She's here.
But she had posted on the page that she wanted to be she didn't know how to be in motivational speaker, and she wanted to be one. And I kind of agreed with her. I've been looking for answers about that too. I wanted to go and share my story and help people who have been in abusive situations, because I feel like I'm almost there. I'm halfway there about getting better, getting myself better.
There's a lot of people on this show, if you go to the website, that will help you, lead you in the right direction. Because we have tons of people from NASCA who are authors, speakers, motivational speakers, you name it. If you join the NASCA groups or go to the website, you will find somebody that will guide you. I mean, I want to start, I've been thinking about starting a foundation, not-for-profit foundation. It's a thought. It'll take years for religious women in the domestic violence world where they're still not accepting, and for their children. I would love to start some sort of foundation where they can come out of hiding and start getting help, because this is something I didn't have. I had to go searching for help. Sorry, Charlie, go on.
No, that's okay. I wanted to get Rita some more. Bailey, it's an awesome mission you have, and definitely I think Rita would come alongside and possibly be part of that with you. And again, Rita, there are many of us. I've been blessed to speak in multiple places all across the country, and both in person and online. And if to offer you a suggestion, a baby step to head in that direction, if you belong to a local church congregation, or if there is like our local civic associations in your area, reach out there and begin sharing your story there and putting together how you want it to, and be open to feedback, which I'm sure you are. And I hear you. I mean, I can hear your confidence, as Bill said earlier. I already hear your confidence building from when you first came on the show today, tonight, just a little over an hour ago. And I applaud what you're doing. And I didn't want to leave this out real quick. I wanted to show a shout out to Tanisha, who I know currently is listening, who originally told us she wanted to wait to the end to get back involved. But a shout out to Tanisha for stepping in and saying, hey, I need to say something. So your voice is heard, Tanisha, and we appreciate you being here. I look forward to hearing some more from you in a little bit. Bailey, I'm going to go ahead and mute my mic and give the show back over to you. And Rita, you're doing wonderful. I'm sure you're an amazing mom. I know you're an amazing caregiver, and I look forward to seeing what I, too, can do to help you in your future endeavors to want to become a speaker and other things, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. You're doing great.
We're back to you, Rita.
Okay. But yeah, I'm doing good. I live out here in Joshua, Texas. It's like, 30 minutes away from Fort Worth. So I'm just living life at its best, you know, worry-free. You know, I try to focus on my work, you know, and taking care of my kids. An amazing, amazing, amazing boyfriend who's a great father to both of my kids. You know, he stepped in as a stepdad, and he's really amazing to my daughter. He does everything with her, and I'm very proud of him for that because he's an amazing dad. My kids love me. You know, every time I come in the door, their whole face lights up. You know, and that makes me feel loved, because I'm like, hey, these kids really do love me because they won't leave me alone. So, is there anything else you want to ask me?
Did you want to go back to when you were younger, where they would have you sleep in a barn? Do you want to talk about that? Because I think we skipped over that whole part. Or talk about the future?
So when they would do that, she would get mad, and she would tell me all kinds of things, like, I'm going to just be like my mom and have kids and leave them, and I'm just, you know, nobody cares about me. And she would say, do you hear the phone ringing? No, Bet, because nobody cares. She would get mad and push me outside, locking outside, and it didn't matter if it was hot or cold or if it was at night, you know. So this all happened in Coleman, Texas. That's like 2-3 hours away from where I am at, Joshua. And it was actually me and the other little boy named Chris, and we would go and sleep in the barn, and when we were hungry, and of course if it was winter and we were outside, we couldn't eat pecans or peaches because there was none, so we ate dog food or drank from the hose that was outside, and or eat the grass if there was any, you know. So
You know, it was really trying to survive, because sometimes she wouldn't feed us. You know, and we would work for her. You know, we had a beautiful garden. We did all the housework inside, outside, you know. And I've always, you know, I always try to look for approval from her at the time. I always, you know, to see if she approved of it, if she was proud of me, you know. So, but now I don't look for anybody for approval. And, you know, I just know I need to be happy, for, you know, if I did something and I know I love the way I did it, you know, I need to love myself for that.
Well, that shows so much growth. Come a really, really long way in such a short period of time. That's unbelievable. I mean, it really is. If you don't mind me asking, do you go for therapy? Other than the Facebook groups, do you get?
I did go to therapy. But he really didn't help me much. I was on Medicaid, and my Medicaid ended, so I couldn't do it anymore. That, and I can't afford, you know, just cash alone. But yeah, we talked a little bit about it, and he made me understand that she has problems too. So Evelyn, you know, he told me she probably had a split personality. So, and I remember her also telling me about her abusive childhood. So she didn't break the chain. She kept continuing. She acted just like her abusers did to me. And I'm not the only one that ran away from that household. Matter of fact, after I wasn't the first one either. So there was she adopted four kids. One ran away first, then it was me. Then the other kid ran away, and then there's two left there, but they're grown now. But yeah, we ended up pressing charges, 2 years after we had left, me and another girl, and we still haven't heard back from the police, and it's been 2-3 years since we've heard, you know, so we don't know if anything's going to be getting done about anything, but, you know, at least we tried.
Well, that, you know, from my experience, you know, in the beginning, you fight back, you do what you can. You want your abuser punished. You want them to take on responsibility, whether they do or they don't. But you want them to pay for what they've done to you, especially when they have a personality disorder. They're never going to get better. So, in my experience, let them pay, and what you're doing, you know, you can only do what you can do. And I know in my shoes, I was insane. I fought like crazy. And, you know, it was a very short period of time of jail and whatever, and I won't even go into details because this is your story, not mine. But I was able to put that behind me, that part of what happened, because, you know, your abuser should have to pay, you know, that's just my opinion, you know, and it's good that you're doing whatever you can, and again, it's not in your hands. We have no control.
So. Yeah, I can't tell you how angry that I was. Even, you know, even when I was there, she would tell people, you know, like I said earlier, she would tell people that I was mentally retarded and that no one should listen to me because I'm not well in the head, and people would treat me like that. I was, even today, believe it or not, I still have some family members that will treat me like I'm not well in the head and I'm not worth it. You know what I mean? So it hurts. But you know what? It is what it is. But yeah, I try not to let that get in the way or anything.
Yeah, you can't. And you know what? I'm sorry. I feel like you and I are just having a conversation all by ourselves. I'm going to go to Tanisha. she wants to say anything. We have about 14 minutes left. Tanisha, would you like to say anything?
Hey. Yes, I'm just listening. She has an amazing story and amazing testimony, and I as well think she'll do great as a motivational speaker and a leader. And just keep going, Rita. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you for getting me started.
You are welcome. You are so welcome. Somebody helped me, and I wanted to help somebody else, and I'm glad you came on. And I'm glad that I'm here listening. Y'all, I'm sorry I don't feel well. So
it's okay.
That's what I just
told
you.
Feel better, Tanisha. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you. We appreciate it. I'm going to go to Bill. Bill,
yeah, I echo that to Tanisha. We really appreciate your checking in with us tonight, even though you weren't feeling well, Tanisha. And you are loved and a member of the NASCA family, so thank you for being here. I know it's important to guests that there are people here that support them, and we certainly are, Rita. And I wanted to just touch on the discussion about getting justice against our predators. And it's not going to be possible for an awful lot of people, and that's okay. In fact, many have heard me say before, if you have to make a choice between, you know, getting justice and getting recovery, one or the other, get recovery, because that fixes you, that helps you, that, you know, it doesn't hurt them, it helps you. Whereas, If you're completely consumed by trying to make the predator pay, as to use the terminology we were using, you know, or even to say they're sorry, these are losing causes, and they take years. And if in the meantime we are engaged in our anger and in our frustration over the system, how long it takes to get things done, and all of that, we're delaying our own opportunity to move forward with our own healing. So I appreciate that you're in your healing journey 3 years now, and you're doing really extremely well. And there may or may not come a time when law enforcement gets back to you. But the fact that you've reported it is important too. Just the reporting matters, because it increases the accuracy of the statistics that we try desperately to keep on how many children have been abused. And, you know, if these are all crimes. If they're not reported, as far as law enforcement's concerned, they don't happen. It didn't happen if it's not reported. If it's reported, it happened. You may not be able to get any justice, but at least it's on the books. And besides, if you don't report it, it'll never get. There'll never be a possibility of getting justice. Now, these things are difficult for some people to understand, but I'll just say in finality here, I'm a person who got into recovery long before I had an opportunity to get any justice, and I've only recently got it. And it's fully 50 years after some of the abuse that I experienced that I got my first chance at moving forward with any attempt at justice. But it's 37 years since I've been in recovery. And believe me, that's the way to do it. If you have to, get recovery first and put the other stuff on the sideline. You can come back to it later, as I've done, and in my case, way, way later, because I'm an old guy. But you're doing great. And many people here have verified the sound in your voice, the work that you're doing with the older folks and stuff, very important, you know. And there are going to be things you can do with NASCA, if you choose to, that will increase your feeling of ownership in this NASCA family, this nonprofit organization, because you are, it is your nonprofit, it is your organization, and it is your family. Okay? So thank you so much for being on tonight and telling us your story. You did a great job.
Thank you.
Our privilege, Patty.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. Let's see if Charlie, we have 9 minutes to go. Let's see if Charlie wants to type in.
Hey, yeah. I'm back on. What do you know? Rita, just again, I know I've said it numerous times, but it bears repeating. Keep doing what you're doing. Can you drive a vehicle, look in the rearview mirror? We know the answer, no, right?
No.
And our lives, we're driving, but it's like being in a car in your life, you know? Every once in a while, you got to look in the rearview mirror to see what's going on back there, you know, and to find out because why? You're making sure you're safe for yourself, for your children, for your family. But we don't drive our lives looking in the rearview mirror, or we'd be crashing all the time. So there's no harm in looking back in what you've been through, but don't allow it to become something that becomes your focal point that you end up crashing where you're headed to. Because I think you're headed to amazing places. I believe you've already arrived in amazing places from what you shared so far. And I look forward to hearing you again. You know, we do bring special guests back from time to time after periods of time. And I definitely anticipate that we're going to hear from Ms. Rita Rodriguez from Joshua, Texas, at some time in the future about where she has progressed in her speaking career, her desire to do that, possibly writing. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. But definitely, as Bailey has said and Bill has said, and I reiterate, please take some time, both you and then our listeners out there, both tonight and in the future, because Rita, this show will be archived and taped, so you can go back and you'll be able to share it with other people, and even listen to it yourself. Because sometimes I go back and listen, and then when I hear myself, don't get too critical of yourself. Don't get what I call paralysis by analysis. Okay, just look at it and say, oh, okay, there's the one area, and I'm going to be quiet at this. There's only one, I learned this a long time ago. There's one area in your life, in the house called your life, that should always have extra space. And that area is called the room for improvement. So in that room, whenever you want to critique what you've done, don't beat yourself up for what you've done you think is wrong. Empower yourself to move forward and grow. But you're already there. You're doing wonderful. And your family here at NASCA is definitely behind you to support you, alongside you, to walk with you, and ahead of you to pull you along when you need us there, okay?
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate y'all giving me the chance to share my story.
Absolutely. We appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely. That's what I was going to say. Thank you. It's very hard in the beginning, you know, to share your story. You don't realize how many people can relate, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever think that just a couple of people that were on the show could relate?
I knew there are some people out there, but I just needed to hear it for myself.
We're just a few people, and if you Facebook friend, if you connect with me on Facebook, I post a lot of stuff that has to do with domestic violence and all that kind of stuff, and whatever I can. I've done a couple of a handful of podcasts sharing my story. It gets easier and easier. NASCA was one of my first, and trust me, I was nervous. I think I even cried. But there's so many of us out there, unfortunately, and the more
Bailey,
we talk about it, yeah.
Yeah, I want to make one quick comment because I know the show's coming to an end about something she touched on earlier that we didn't comment on, and that is she said she had a therapist, but the therapist didn't really help a lot. And I know why, and all of us on the panel know why. It's likely, anyway, that the therapist was not someone who was particularly trauma-trained or trauma-informed,
mm-hmm.
which is
mm-hmm.
not an unusual situation. And so I want to just say briefly, if you're looking for a therapist, you want to interview several and they'll all give you 15, 20 minutes to talk to them. Make sure you tell them your story in a few minutes, and then be quiet and see what they say about how they would help you. And you will get an impression about whether or not they are a good fit. And then, of course, you choose, let's say you, from the four people you interviewed, you choose the one that's best. But the point is, you also want to make sure all of them are what's called trauma-trained or trauma-informed, because there are therapists still out there who can hang a shingle out. They have a license, but they're not particularly adept or knowledgeable about this thing called child abuse recovery, you know, recovery from child abuse and the trauma and child abuse. So I just wanted to mention that before we go off the air for the listeners and for Rita. And by the way, it doesn't have to be expensive. You can find inexpensive therapy in lots of ways. Some people live next to colleges or universities or close enough to drive to where the psychology schools give therapy at nominal costs, almost nothing. And these kids, the younger folks that are getting trained today, are getting trauma training. So, you know, that's just an idea. But there's also a lot of sliding scale therapists, too. If you tell them about your situation, they can make arrangements at lower cost. So thank you, Bailey, for the couple of minutes. And I'll just say goodnight to our special guest now so you don't have to come back to me. But Rita, you did a great job. Great job.
It sure did.
Thank you.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Go on. Finish up.
No, I just wanted to thank her for showing up and doing it. You know, that's what it takes.
Yes. And I was going to say that I got help. I started off in group therapy in shelters, women's shelters. They even have, I know in Florida, they have babysitting because the shelter people live there. And they have a lot of group therapy. Violence, domestic violence, abuse, it's free. So if you can find a shelter in your neighborhood or wherever you live, I always say the group therapy saved my life. And they also had a lot of resources, and they were able to help me get a therapist. And she's actually my therapist till today that way. Talking about it and getting, like Phil said, a trauma-trained therapist, someone that's familiar or trained in abuse, domestic violence, all those things. We have 90 seconds, actually 30 seconds, but those are the best people to go to. Anything you'd like to say before we close out? We have like 5 seconds.
Just thank y'all for having me, and I appreciate the chance and share with everybody, whoever's listening, everyone that's listening. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Real quick, I know we're running out of time. I wanted to give Tanisha an opportunity to come on and give a fond farewell. Tanisha, go ahead.
Well, thank you again, and Rita, I'm so proud of you, and thank y'all for having me as a special guest at one point on the show, and I look forward to hearing from Rita and becoming a great friend with her, and that's good, and that's all I have to say. Congratulations.
Thanks, Nisha.
Thank you.
And Rita,
Nisha, and Bill, and Charlie.
And absolutely. And Tanisha, you have a good night. Stay encouraged.
Another tomorrow, 'cause that's gone.
Thank you again for all of doing the NASA family. Monday Night Podcast. We really appreciate it.
Blog Talk Radio.